want to tell you, there's no question about it. The earth is going to collapse at our feet. And we need to be prepared, in particular, in two kinds of ways as believers. One is to be able to stand in the evil day. Do you think you're prepared to stand in the evil day? Well, we've already entered the evil day. That is the last days when iniquity is abounding upon abounding and multiplying so rapidly. And when deception is moving even in and among the body of Christ, and millions are being swept away in deception. Are you prepared to stand in the evil day of deception and destruction? And it's only just begun. And Christians are falling away like flies. Now, I'm not discrediting what the Holy Spirit is doing among His people. I'm talking about how so many believers are yielding to false teaching, to false prophecies, to lightweight things, to silly things, to folly, to things that please the flesh. So He's crying out to His people saying, be prepared, for you're about to enter into a time where you will not be able to stand if you're not prepared. And the second thing is, we all know that the Lord Jesus is coming soon, and we think of that in a glorious way, and we should. But He wants me to remind us tonight of this. Think of it this way. Are you prepared to meet the Lord? Are you prepared to meet Him face to face? And the answer is no. For most of us, according to the Scriptures, we're not. Now, don't get excited. I'm not saying that when we're in Christ, we're not prepared to meet Him. When we've believed on Him, we've received His grace, we're born again, of course, we're washed in His blood. Praise the Lord. But the Bible tells us so much concerning the way we live our lives once we're in Christ, and that when we meet Him, we shall give account unto God for how we represented Him and His name in the earth. And so God wants His people to be prepared to meet Him. If we get so caught up in understanding that He's coming again to receive us, and we should be caught up in that, of course. But if we're so lopsided that we're not understanding that we're also prepared to meet Him, that I might present Him what I've done in the earth, what I've permitted Him to do through me in the earth. And we're going to look at this in the Scripture. We're not talking about busy work. We're not talking about religious work. We're talking about simply yielding to the Holy Spirit who has given me a new life, that I'm yielding to Him in righteousness. And whatever He's called me to do, it doesn't matter if it's sit down on a pew and pray or whatever He's called me to do, that I can give it up to God and it's been fruitful unto Him. And the fact is this, that simply being born again, does not ensure certain things in our lives. It does not ensure certain things in our lives now, and it does not ensure that you're really going to want to meet Him. You know, Isaiah cried out and said, oh God, rend the heavens and come down. And I've heard many believers for many years say that. I've said, oh God, please don't come down now. Please don't come down now. We don't know what we're saying. By the same token, when we only think of the second coming of Christ to take us up to be with Him in the heavens, don't be so lopsided that we don't also realize that we're going to have a meeting with the Lord concerning our lives in the earth. So today, because of many things in our cultural Christianity, traditional Christianity, all of these things, we're not prepared to move into the days immediately ahead of us. We're really not prepared to stand in the day we're in. And we're not prepared to meet Him at His coming. And so we're sound asleep. You know, when you're chipping away at a big chunk of ice, we're chipping away at something that has grown hard and difficult and cold. And without the Spirit of God, it cannot be chipped away. Without the voice of the Lord to shake it and break it, it cannot be chipped away. It cannot be broken. It cannot be cleaned. Jesus said, now you are clean. Why? Through the word that I've spoken unto you. And the Spirit gave witness to the word and pierced their hearts and divided asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow. And they were made alive and they could see life. And John said, we walked with life. We touched Him. We handled Him. Eternal life itself. This is what we need. We need an entrance of God. We need the Word of God. And there's a famine of the Word of God by the Spirit. There's a famine. Open your ears. Open their hearts. We don't have time to chip away at this thing day after day. There's too much going on. Our lives are full. Everything's scheduled. Everything. And it's running 1,000 miles per hour. It's like the third man in the parable of the sower. He received the word with joy. But because of the cares of this life and the lust of the world, he was unfruitful. It's moving 1,000 miles an hour. Jesus tells us about a man in John chapter 10 who was healed. He healed him. He was blind. You remember him. A blind man was healed. He was called before the Pharisees. Those who claimed to know God, those who claimed to see God, they asked how he was healed, and he told them, you know, this man came up to me and healed me and so forth. You remember the story. After the story was over, Jesus was speaking to those, speaking concerning those Pharisees, and he said, if you can see, you're blind. But if you're blind, you can see. In other words, if you think you know, I can't help you. But if you humble yourself and you cry out to me for sight, I will give you sight. That's where the church is today. We think we know. We're blind. We cannot see. We're wandering around in a dark room. We trip into holes and then we scream, help me out of the hole. We run into walls. We fall down. We say, help me get up. But we don't want to leave the room. We keep walking in darkness because we love it. And false prophets and false teachers keep us there. And the only reason we follow them is because we do not embrace the truth. He says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, because they did not love the truth, he led them into deception. Are you in a dark room? I'm speaking in God's behalf, not in mine. He's the only one in perfect light, but we can walk in the light. I believe the Spirit of God wants to speak like a hammer. There's so little time. There's so much to say. I'm just going to go through some scriptures here real quickly. 5 or 6 things quickly. The first one takes just a few minutes. The rest of them are pretty quick. Did I tell you to turn to Habakkuk chapter 3? I'm sorry. Verse 2, let me tell you real quickly a story of Habakkuk. He was a prophet under the old covenant. He could see, he had eyes to see. That's why he was always troubled. Because he could see all evil. He could just see it. So he was troubled. So in Judah, the southern kingdom, was in so much gross sin for so long a time, Habakkuk said, oh God, look at this mess. I know you can see it. Why do you permit it to go on? And in verse 5 of chapter 1, God says, Habakkuk, I know it. He said, if I told you what I'm about to do, you wouldn't believe me if I gave you the details. Saying the same thing to us. You wouldn't believe. I don't know the details. What I know, I hardly believe, but we don't know what God's about to do. To cleanse His own house, not to mention the world, to cleanse His own house. And the Apostle Peter said, judgment must begin first in the house of God. So before the world gets cleansed, we're in for cleansing. And in the midst of it, we're in for cleansing. Because His name is in us. He loves His name. And His name is going to be glorified in all the earth. And the Word and the Spirit and the work that He's done in us shall shine bright in all the earth. So in, he tells Habakkuk, he's raising up a great enemy, swift and strong. And they're going to come and strip the land and take the people into captivity and so forth. And Habakkuk is afraid. And that's where in chapter 3 Habakkuk says, oh God, I've heard your word. I've heard your speech and I'm afraid. But then he says, oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. This needs to be our cry tonight. That God would revive His work in the midst of judgment. The judgment of God is already in the earth, I tell you. Because time and again, 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 people have rejected the outstretched hand of God to love them. And believers have rejected the truth that He's called us to walk in once we're in the light. We've rejected it over and over and over and over and over again. And so deception is moving in the earth right now. We need to say, oh God, in the midst of this judgment, in the midst of us being judged because we've chosen our own way, therefore we're in a dark room. God, have mercy and show us the way out. To many of you, I sound like a stranger. Praise God, I am a stranger in the earth. And I hope you become a stranger in the earth too. If Jesus came down right now, He'd be the strangest one among us. He'd put all of us to shame. This needs to be our cry. So if anybody ever says, what do we need to be praying today? We need to pray. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. The whole church is about to be cleansed. His house is going to be cleansed. It's going to be cleansed, and He wants us to prepare for it. I know we have practical time constraints. We live in a fast world. I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't be too much to preach every day, 6 hours a day in this generation. How far did Jesus travel when He preached? Who knows? Who knows? 100 miles, less than 100 miles. Jesus traveled walking, preaching considerably less, I think. He was there for more than 3 years. All He did was preach, heal the sick. Jesus Christ, never a flaw in one word of His mouth, and the people still rejected Him. Delivering living water, performing miracles, raising the dead, healing the sick in a little area. Think about within 50 miles north and south of this place. That's nothing. He was there more than 3 years and the people still rejected Him. Do you see how deep and how wretched the heart of man is? Do you see? So we've been born again. We've been born of Him. He's begun a regenerating work in our lives. Hallelujah. But He calls us forward. And He says, when all is said and done and I've come again, you'll meet me. And you'll stand before me and give account of your life. Romans chapter 14, the end of verse 10. We're just going to read a little bit. You can read it later. You all have your Bibles. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Did you hear that? He's speaking to believers. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it's written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you believe the word of God? Once more, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 and following. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. That's the old man, not yielding to the old man. But as He who called you is holy, you're also to be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. He's a holy God. He's separate and far removed from our old man, from this old life, from the lust and the cares of this life. He's a holy God. And in order for us to stand out as God's representative, we're separated. That doesn't mean we don't fellowship with unbelievers, love them, bless them, pour our lives out for them to the extent the Holy Spirit shows us. But it means they can clearly see that this man, this woman is born of God. They're a new creation. They're separate and apart from all the world and everything in it. Praise the Lord. If you call on your Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Without partiality, judges every man according to his works. Live your stay, your time in here in fear. We serve a holy God. And the writer of Hebrews says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. What does that mean? Ask the Holy Spirit what it means in your life. We've received the gift of righteousness and holiness, sanctification through Jesus Christ by faith, and our place in the heavens is established in Christ. Praise God. It's a gift no man can earn. You can't do enough. You can't yield enough. It's the gift of grace through Jesus Christ. It's mine. Praise God. It's yours if you're in Christ. But He's called us to live out the life that He's given us. It's what do we do after we're born again? How do we live after we're born again? After we're walking all over the earth, bearing His name on our chest, saying, I'm a Christian, I'm in Christ, I represent Jesus Christ. How do we live? We need to understand we're going to meet God concerning those things. First of all, very quickly, if you're born again, it doesn't ensure that you're going to mature into the image of Jesus Christ. It does not ensure that at all. To be born again and to mature in Jesus Christ is a cost. And we're going to go through these very quickly because I know many of you have a work day tomorrow. I'll just read these quickly. To mature in Christ is to endure trials, is to pass through trials. To mature and to endure. They're synonymous. They work together. There's no maturing without enduring. And there's no enduring if we don't seek to walk out the life of the Holy Spirit in us once we're born again. Because there's nothing coming against you. It's as we yield our lives to the Spirit that the world and the warfare is against us. And that's where we need endurance, and that's where we grow. So if we become like the world at the outset, once we're born again, if we immediately begin to walk back in the world, yield to the old man, the lust, the flesh, and the devil, the world, and all these things, then we never have need to endure through trial to become mature. So to be born again doesn't ensure that you're going to be mature in Christ. He says in James chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith works patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. The Apostle Paul said, I desire to present you a chaste virgin unto Christ, that your spirit, soul, and body would be ready for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, there's a preparation time. Maturing requires enduring, and you have no need for enduring unless you're living in Christ. In Mark chapter 4, Jesus says, as I mentioned in the parable of the sower in this particular chapter 4, He speaks of this second man of the parable of the sower. He says, they received the word with joy, but when trials and persecutions came, they were not willing to endure. So they fell away. They didn't bear any fruit. Well, being born again gives us that righteousness in Christ. We're born of Him. We're His children. He loves us, delivered us from one kingdom to the other. I want to make that clear as a bell. But there'll be trials, there'll be persecutions, difficulties, ostracized from the world, all kinds of conflict. And by His Spirit, we can stand and endure in the midst of that and grow up into the image of Jesus Christ. This is His point, to grow us up into His image. That's God's goal, to grow us up into His image. And as we grow up into His image, by His Spirit living and abiding in us, fruit will abound on the left and the right. It will abound, it will abound. And then when it's time to meet God at the second coming of Jesus Christ, we can say, Hallelujah! I yielded to the Spirit. I was battled by the world because I yielded to your Spirit. I recognize that you're holy. I recognize that you're righteous. And I knew the only way I could walk out the gift that you've given me was by the Spirit. And I did it. And I bore fruit. And I endured. And I'm ready to meet you, oh God. Hallelujah. How many can say that tonight? I've cried out to God till my voice is hoarse several times that God would break our hearts. The only road to real revival is when our hearts are broken. The only way our hearts can be broken is when the Spirit of God shows us who we really are. The only way we can know who we really are is by the Spirit of God revealing Himself through His Word. And we have to see it time and again because our hearts are hard. Our hearts are hard. We've been practicing cultural Christianity too long. We've let go of all the limits. We've not realized that we're to be responsible and accountable with God. Praise the Lord. So anyway, there are other scriptures there, but we're going to go on. Just being born again does not ensure that we're going to be fruitful, does it? What does He say in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5? Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Without me you can do nothing. But just being born again doesn't ensure you're going to bear fruit. It's abiding in the vine that you bear fruit. It's abiding in him that you bear fruit. I don't want to meet God and say I didn't have any fruit. And I don't want to meet him and say all I had was because I was being busy and religious. Remember, I say that over and over again because there's a big difference. But there's a fine line between. One is the way of the Spirit, the life of the Spirit. The other one is the life of the flesh, trying to please God. It's not saying that we try to please God in the flesh. It's by yielding to the Holy Spirit based upon what he's gifted me and called me, where he's placed me to yield as one member in the body. He does the work. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus that we should do those things that he established before the foundation of the world. We can't do God's work, only he can do it. And he's given us this treasure in earthen vessels that we might do it. Hallelujah. It's not a burden to us. His way is easy, his burden is light, his yoke is easy. Hallelujah. The difficulty for us is putting off that old man. We put him back on. We're dressed in that old man suit. We're yielding to the flesh everywhere we go. We eat what we want, when we want. We buy what we want, when we want. We do what we want, when we want. Our lives are built around our wants. And the current gospel is that God exists for us. What a lie! God doesn't exist for you. We exist for God. We're to be conformed into his image. Transformed. He's not to be transformed into our image. God, have mercy. Praise the Lord. Can you say, oh God, break my heart? To be born again does not make you a true disciple who meets God's goal. In verse 8 of John 15, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so will you be my disciple. You're not a follower of Jesus Christ if you're not bearing fruit. Jesus, the word disciple means follower. He's lead, we follow. If you're not following Jesus, you're not going to bear fruit. You're not his disciple if you're not bearing fruit. He's called us to be his followers. A couple of more very quickly. Born again, but not profitable. We can be born again, but not profitable to God at all. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 7. Which of you, having a servant plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come in once and sit down to eat? Or will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself. Serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink. Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise, when you've done all those things which are commanded, say, we're unprofitable servants. We've done what was our duty to do. Wow. What a difficult scripture. We need to think of it like, am I ready to meet God? There is responsibility to the Spirit and accountability to God. It's a word that's not preached today. God is looking for us to press on in Him. Not in religion, but in Him. Otherwise, we're unprofitable. We read that every one of us will give account unto God. Luke chapter 12, verse 35 through 44, Jesus said, gird up your loins, be ready, watch, for the day is coming. And blessed is the one who is watched and who has been a faithful steward. God has left all of us stewards. For the most part, we've misinterpreted that. In modern Christianity, we have interpreted this word stewardship to mean strictly money, and we hoard it. So bank accounts are built up and lost in the name of stewardship. It's a lie. You're believing a lie. You're trusting in the arm of the flesh, and God will take it away. Whether you're rich or poor, or neither. We've all depended on the arm of the flesh. And that's why in God's mercy, he's cutting this right arm off. He's plucking this right eye off. So that he might save us in the end. He wants to be our God. Can you hear me? Before there was any monetary system, there was God. He didn't create money, we did. Praise God, have mercy. Finally, I want to say you can be born again but not ready to stand in the evil day. Let's read Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verse 13, then we're going to back up. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. I tell you, it's going to take the whole armor of God. It's the whole armor of God, and it's the body of Christ together. Your safety is within the body of Christ where He's planted you. He's trying to prepare us for the evil day in which we live, in which we're about to enter. He's trying to prepare us for meeting the Lord. Well, let's close with Joel chapter 2. He's just leading me there. Praise the Lord. Verse 12, Joel 2, same problem, same people. God's people, old covenant, they've been shown everything and all kinds of mercy have been extended. Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting. Listen, I'm going to name these as they come. It's 1, 2, 3, listen. Turn to me with all your heart. Turn to me with all your heart with fasting. Turn to me with all your heart with weeping. Weeping! Turn to me with all your heart with mourning. So rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. Listen at the command. He's speaking to the new covenant church as well. All the more. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and He relents from doing harm. Who knows if He'll turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, a grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord your God. Now listen. Blow the trumpet in Zion. An evangelist blows the trumpet out there in the world and says, come, all of you who have no money, come and buy. A table has been spread for you. He is Jesus Christ. Come and eat and drink of Him and live eternal life. That's the evangelist in the world. And the hearers come. But in the church, the Lord says to Zion, blow the trumpet in Zion. Tell my house that I'm coming. They're not ready. They're not prepared. Their hearts are hard. Their minds are like stone. I cannot enter in. And I'm coming. Tell my people I'm coming. They're going to meet me. They're going to face me. They're going to give an account. Look what he says real quickly. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and nursing babes, let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priest, that is those of us who claim to be leaders in the body of Christ by the grace gift of God, weep between the porch and the altar. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Without a measure of holiness, the Holy Spirit cannot work through us. Without the work of the Holy Spirit in and through us, the work of God is not done. He's not glorified in and through us. We are unprofitable servants. We've been born of Him, but been made unprofitable. We've become anemic. We can't even take medicine anymore. It won't do us any good. We've been so entertained so long. It's hard to take medicine, Lord. We've had so much sugar, so many sweets. We humble ourselves before You, O God. History is repeating itself, but for the last time, this is the end. And many of us are not saved, and fewer of us are ready to meet You. Yet we cry, come Lord Jesus. We humble ourselves before You. We thank You for the new birth. We thank You for the gift of righteousness. I ask You, Heavenly Father, to help us see ourselves as we really are, so far from what we could be and You'd have us to be. Not so that we stay down and wounded, but so that we get down in order for You to be able to lift us up. We love You, Lord, and we thank You that You love us. We thank You for Your love message. In Jesus' name.